Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 18. Matthew, chapter 18. We'll read verses 21 through 23 together. Read this passage responsibly. Matthew, chapter 18, verses 21 through 23. We'll read this passage responsibly, and we'll read a couple other verses a little bit later in this chapter when we finish with these three verses. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 23. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. Now skip down to verse 32 in the same chapter. We're going to read verses 32 and 33 together. I'll read verse 32. You join me on verse 33. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And let's pray. Father, thank you for the day which you've done for us. Lord, what a great time in Sunday school we had and the great crowds that we've had. Lord, here in this building, the multiplied hundreds and hundreds of people that are here and the great presence of your Spirit here. And yet we stand before you a needy people. Lord, our country stands as a needy nation, not necessarily financially, but spiritually. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our minds, and change our lives, please, for you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Every husband and every wife will need to listen to the sermon very carefully this morning. Because without what I'm about to teach, you probably won't be married to your husband or to your wife in the near future, in months or years to come. If you would like to have a relationship with your children that is lasting, I would listen to today's sermon. I cannot tell you how many people have children that they don't talk to, that they can't get along with. If I were you and I were a parent, I would listen to today's sermon if you would like that relationship to be lasting. I don't know if you know it, but people can rear kids and you can go through life and be friends with your own children. It doesn't have to be the fighting and the bickering and the mistrust and all of that that goes on. Husbands and wives, I beg of you, listen to what's said today. Children and parents and children, I hope that you'll listen. Christians, I hope that you'll listen to what's said today. You won't stay in any church long if you don't get the subject of today. You'll just go from place to place, and as soon as it gets bad enough, you'll change again. You'll have to learn the lesson of the day. I call the sermon 70 times 7. 70 times 7. In Matthew chapter number 18, verses 21 and 22, I'll again read to you what we read together earlier. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till 7 times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Here's the story. Peter came to Jesus and asked, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Then Peter attempts to answer his own question. He says, till 7 times? So Peter says, Jesus, my brother sinned against me. How many times should I forgive him? Then Peter immediately gives Jesus what Peter thinks the answer may be. He said, if my brother sins against me 7 times, should I forgive him? But then Jesus answers Peter. Jesus says, your answer is wrong. It is not 7 times. He said, I say not unto thee until 7 times. then Jesus gives the right answer. He not only tells Peter, your answer of seven is wrong, he says, now let me give you the right answer. He says, but until 70 times seven. 70 times seven. 490 times. If you have a pen there, take your Bible and maybe all the way in the front of your Bible on one of those blank pages, write the number 490 and circle it. Just quickly, I don't want to take 15 minutes to get three numbers written down in your Bible, but if you got your Bible there, write it down. Write down 490 and circle it. Then I'm going to let you look back up here at me. The reason I don't do a lot of writing in the service is people end up paying more attention to their notes than they do the sermon. They plan to look it up, you know, read the notes later and miss the whole sermon today. That's about the way America is anyway, always about a week behind on everything that really needs to be done. But write that number down, 490, 490, and circle it. And then put your pen away and look right back up this way because, Bill, that number to me is a big number today, 490. That's where we get the title of the sermon, 70 times 7. Now, let me explain something about this. He said, you mean 70 times 7, 490? What's that mean? Well, Jesus was saying you need to forgive and 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 forgive. And you're going to have to learn how to forgive and to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Now, some of you that are single right now, you're saying this is ridiculous that you go on like that. The married people understand what I mean. And forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And forgive 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 and forgive. That's what the scripture says. And forgive 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 and forgive. And we're nowhere near close to home yet. Not at all. We're to forgive. Now, here's something about it. I think Peter's question was in regard to forgiving one person many times. Notice, he uses the word my brother. That's singular. He did not use the word brethren or my brothers. I also think his suggested number of forgiving seven times is not adequate. You see, I think that his suggested number of times of forgiving seven signifies forgiving one person rather than many. Peter was saying, if my brother sins against me, should I forgive him seven times? Now, who could go through life with a brother and only forgive seven times and think that that's adequate? But it is one person. Surely it wasn't all the brothers that he could make contact with. So this was about one person. The reason this is an issue to us is because Jesus' answer is forgiving 490 times applies to one person. I'm to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. I really think the teaching here is it's called unending forgiveness. You say, no, wait a minute, it doesn't say unending. Okay, 490 will be adequate. You know, in Mark chapter 11, verse number 25 and 26, it says this, and when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You know what that means? If you won't forgive someone, then you want to come to the altar and ask God to forgive you of all your misbehaviors. God said, wait a minute. I'll forgive you when you come to your senses and you go forgive the people that you had a problem with. There are some people, you've been to the altar and asked God to forgive you. I'm wondering if he forgave you for what you did because you held within your heart bitterness and hatred towards somebody else. You walked away thinking, hey, everything's just hunky-dory between me and God. And God said, you're in the same condition now that you were before you went to the altar because I have no obligation to forgive you when you don't want to forgive other people. Why is it you want forgiveness, but you don't want to give it? Hey. Why could you think, well, forgiveness is good for me? Well, did you know it's good for others too? Yeah, it's good toward you, but did you know it's supposed to be good toward others coming from you? In a church like ours, we must take a spiritual shower or bath on a regular basis. We must stay clean toward God and toward each other. Our lives are so interwoven. Here in this church, some lady teaches your child in Sunday school on Sunday, and then you teach hers on Monday in Martinsburg Christian Academy. Someone oversees your child in King's Kids, and then you oversee their child in a children's choir. We see one another's weaknesses and faults. We live our lives together. We enjoy our marriages together. We raise our families together. We make our mistakes in the presence of one another. And if we as individuals do not constantly cleanse ourselves, we're going to be dirty with a lack of forgiveness. We as individuals must constantly cleanse ourselves from the desire for revenge. We must constantly cleanse ourselves from that thing called bitterness that can creep into any life. We must constantly cleanse ourselves from hurt feelings and pride and critical mouths and critical minds and critical hearts. We're going to have to be careful as we live very closely together that we're not so judgmental that we don't destroy one another like a bunch of animals on a piece of raw meat. Will you self-destruct because you don't understand what forgiveness is? I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. We've got to learn to forgive and 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 forgive. It's the only way you're going to make it. The only way you're going to make it. I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about you. I'm not talking about some deacon here. I'm talking about you specifically, deacon. I'm not talking about some nursery worker here. I'm talking specifically to you, nursery worker. I'm not talking about some nursery director here. I'm talking about you specifically, nursery director. I'm not talking about one of the pastor's wives. I'm talking to you, pastor's wife. You will not make it until you can learn to forgive and 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 forgive. I'm not talking about some employee around here. I'm specifically talking about you, church employee. I'm not talking about some Sunday school teacher or some bus worker. We love it when we can just bundle ourselves up in this little bundle where we can hide from ourselves and hide from everybody else. No, you. You and me. Forgive. And forgive, and forgive, and forgive, and forgive, and forgive, the Bible teaches. That shouldn't be hard for us to remember today. I think we could take away the topic of the morning and remember that we're to forgive, and forgive, and forgive, and forgive, and forgive, and forgive, and forgive. I tell you, you'll have to learn to forgive and keep forgiving. 490 times was Jesus' suggestion. And I'm not talking about when you, get mad wrongfully. I'm talking about when you're mad rightly. You say, what do you mean? Well, you know, there's sometimes people do something against us and we got mad and, well, we shouldn't have, so we forgive. Well, I'm talking about somebody did something to you and it happened. So in your own way, you have a right to be upset. That's a tough time when it's hard to forgive. It's easy to forgive when you find out that you were wrong about them. We always take the path of least resistance spiritually, don't we? I'll forgive. I understand. I didn't really see it right. What if you did see it right? That's when it really calls upon spirituality, doesn't it? That's when forgiveness takes its real course. That separates the men from the boys. See, if you're faithful to this church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, if your kids are going to Martinsburg Christian Academy and they go to King's Kids and Young Fundamentalists and the children's choir, you're going to get offended. I'm not saying there's a possibility. You will. You will be hurt. You will be offended. Someone will mistreat you or yours. Now, are we for it? No. Is it going to happen? Yes. Say, well, why? Because we're just like you. Would your husband like to stand and testify that you're a saint and you never have offended him? Can we call upon the ones that know you best to find out if none of us are ever going to have to forgive you? Imperfect humans dealing with imperfect humans on an imperfect earth. May I remind you that we're a bunch of sinful people? So sinful, Jesus said, you may need to be consciously aware of the need to forgive the same person 490 times. We're sinful. We're made of clay. We're weak. We all do things that frustrate others. Everybody here will mistreat somebody else here. You know, does reality scare us so much that we don't ever want to hear about it? You have offended your own child. You have hurt your own child. You've hurt your own wife and your own husband. Don't be shocked if somebody else doesn't do it. We're all guilty of injustices, don't we? Don't we all disappoint one another at some time? I say to you, you ought to learn to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Forgive, don't hate. Forgive, don't seek revenge. Forgive, don't strike back. Forgive, don't become bitter. Forgive, don't try to destroy someone. Forgive, don't become the avoider of everybody. Forgive, don't let it fester. Forgive, don't run. Don't run. Forgive, don't fight. Forgive, don't backstab. Forgive, don't hide. Forgive, don't attack. Forgive, don't sin by not forgiving. The honest truth is, if you would look in the mirror, you might see the person that you should be most disappointed in. You might be shocked at what you would discover. Did you know that revenge is a bit like a boomerang? You may hit your target, but don't be surprised when the weapon heads back toward your face. I remember I was probably about, maybe 9, 10 years old. My dad had gotten together with some men and they loaded some of their own shotgun shells, and I remember them talking about this shotgun and this shotgun shell, and I can't remember all about it. They were laughing and joking, and they'd put a slug in a shotgun shell and really beef that baby up with gunpowder. I mean, beefed it up, beefed it up, beefed it up to where everybody's laughing about who's going to shoot it. I don't know how the gun ended up in my hand. And I was I don't even think I was in double digits yet. I was 9. I thought, okay, I was scared to death of it. It's the first time I'd shot a shotgun like that. I'd shot my 22 and a rifle a little bit, but a shotgun like that. Now, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know what was wrong with me. But I thought, well, I'll go over here by this tree and I'll lean up against this tree, because my thinking was, they kept saying to me, it's going to knock you on your gluteus maximus. Your hindquarters, the soft spot in the body, the largest soft spot. So I'm thinking, you know, logic of a 9-year-old kid, I'll get up against this tree. And I'm thinking, I was afraid he's going to, I just didn't know what it was going to do. I pulled that trigger, and I am telling you, When I pulled that trigger, when that gun came back at me, now I know the shell went forward, but you would have thought a shell came out the back end of it. Bang, smash my shoulder up against the back of that tree. I to this day still look like tree bark on the back. About killed me. Can I tell you something? The recoil on your bitterness and the recoil on your revenge could break you. You shoot to blow somebody away, but you better get ready. There's going to be a price to pay. You know something? In hatred, everybody loses. In hatred, everybody loses. No forgiveness, no victory. A lack of forgiveness contributes to high blood pressure, nervous breakdowns, ulcers, upset digestion. A lack of forgiveness will produce depression eating, panic, insecurity, and sleeplessness. All that stuff will get inside you. Hey, if God, who is perfect, can forgive the drunkard, why can't you, who are imperfect, forgive each other? If God, who is perfect, can forgive the murderer, why can't imperfect people forgive imperfect people? If God, who is perfect, can forgive the prostitute, why can't you and I, imperfect people, forgive imperfect people? If God, who is perfect, can forgive the atheist, why can't you and I, imperfect people, forgive imperfect people? We're not to forgive until we're tired of it. We're to forgive. And forgive. And forgive, 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 and forgive. Hey, forgive because it is good for the object, not just because it's good for you. You need to form a habit of forgiving. Some of you need to develop your own spiritual character so that you can consistently and persistently learn to forgive and forgive and forgive. That's what destroys marriages. That's what destroys relationships between children and their parents and parents and their children and bosses and their employees and employees and their bosses and Christians among Christians. We just don't know how to forgive and do it consistently. Long-term church members have a habit of forgiving. Long-term marriages have a habit of forgiving. It's necessary. Oh, let me talk to you about that very subject in minutes to come. First of all, let me say to forgive 70 times 7, we have to realize that what forgiveness truly is. What is forgiveness, really? You see, we have such an interest in ourselves. We don't think that anywhere in there that forgiveness has a definition in regard to others. For instance, forgiveness is suffering for another's wrong. It is bearing the penalty of another's sin. Forgiveness chooses that self hurts and suffers and maybe it's caused by somebody else. Forgiveness includes you paying the price for the evil that someone else has brought upon you. Forgiveness is accepting some undeserved suffering. Forgiveness is vicarious substitutionary suffering for the sin of somebody else. Somebody else wronged you, and you accepted and suffered because of it. Somebody hurt you, and you didn't hurt back, but you suffered. You forgave. You don't believe it? Look at Calvary. They take Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, born of a virgin, perfect, sinless, flawless Son of God. They take him to a mock trial. Was he guilty? No. Had he done anything wrong? No. Had he sinned? No. Had he betrayed anyone? No. 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 Perfect. Perfect. They put him through a mock trial. They scourge him. They beat him. Had he done anything wrong? No. Had he hurt anybody? No. Had he sinned? No. What do? They beat him. They beat him within inches of his life, put a cross on his back and asked him to carry it uphill to Golgotha. They strip his clothing. They take a spear and shove it in his side. They nail him to a cross. Had he done anything wrong? No. Had he hurt them? No. Had he betrayed them? No. Had he ever betrayed anyone? No. Had he ever sinned against anyone? No. Had he ever abused anyone? No. 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 He was a perfect, sinless Son of God. Going through all of that. Going through all of that. Driving the nails in his hands and in his feet. And then in Luke 23, 34, the Bible says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. There is perfection, forgiving imperfection, and suffering a penalty that he didn't even deserve. That's what forgiveness is. I'll forgive you if you pay me back. Well, I'm for paying people back.
I think there ought to be restitution. But you better mentally and spiritually begin to realize that forgiveness is saying, I'll love you if you don't pay me back. Someone said, I'll forgive if they'll come ask for it. That's not what Bible forgiveness is. Bible forgiveness forgives before you're asked to forgive. Bible forgiveness forgives even if you're not asked. You hurt yourself by not forgiving more than you hurt the unforgiven one. Shows on your face. Shows in your attitude. Shows in your relationship. Shows in your singing or lack thereof. You don't smile. You're not happy. Shows in your health. Shows in your lack of productivity for God. Hey, did you know the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord? You're not the Lord. I don't know if it's occurred to you lately. You're not God. God said, you leave vengeance to me. Well, what am I supposed to do? Forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. Vindictive people are the most miserable people I know. Oh, they can smile on the outside, but on the inside, they are miserable. Vindictive people are the most lonely people I know and the most untrustworthy people I know. Their friends even fear if they're the next target. Hey, are you secretly someone's enemy and your face does not show it, but on the inside, God sees the frown? God knows. And I say to you, number one, to forgive 70 times 7, you must realize what forgiveness truly is. Secondly, to forgive 70 times 7, we must realize that God's forgiveness is our example. If you're having a hard time forgiving someone, why don't you sit down, take a piece of paper, start listing all the sins for which God has forgiven you. So I'm having a hard time forgiving someone, okay? And here's what let's do. You sit down, draw up a list, starting when you were an infant, list every sin that you've committed against God. You're going to need a lot of paper. You list every sin for which your God has forgiven you. You're going to need one piece, and then another piece, and then another piece, and then another piece. You're going to need a lot of them. And you're going to need another piece of paper and another piece of paper and look right at me, just get rid of them and look at me. And another piece of paper and another piece of paper and another piece of paper. And you'll have to list it and list it and list it. And by the time you think your list is complete, you have no concept of how bad you've been and how holy He is. He'll hand you another ream of paper and say, keep on writing, baby, because I have forgiven and forgiven and forgiven and forgiven and forgiven you. I forgave you when you were one and when you were two and when you were three and when you were four and when you were five and when you were six and when you were seven, and the older you are, the more you've been forgiven of by your God. And He said, you just keep on forgiving. Then, after you have your list of everything that you've done against God, which will be just a smidge of what you've really done, and you take out another piece of paper, and you write on it everything that that person's done to you. And then you go ahead and justify in your puny little unspiritual mind why you won't forgive them. God forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. Forgives the past, forgives the present, forgives the future, and forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives and forgives. And some of you ought to thank God. You say, but they have repetitively, oh, so it bothers you when somebody repetitively does something against you. Check your list in God. He's still dealing with your repetitive sins against Him. Think about it. Inquire within thyself. What are you still dealing with? Same thing you dealt with last year. Same besetting sin. Huh. To forgive 70 times 7, we're going to have to realize that God's forgiveness is our example. To forgive 70 times 7, we're going to have to realize what forgiveness really is. Thirdly, to forgive 70 times 7, we must realize that people are broken. People are broken. I'm not talking about you right now. I'm talking about the person that you won't forgive. You know, when someone criticizes me, let me tell you how I see them. You say, Brother Owens, how do you survive? I'm a public figure. An awesome one at that. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. And men, don't fear. I'm here to protect you. I won't hurt you. I'm a public figure. It may seem delightful to get up and be the one that does all the talking and everything, but you become a target. You become a target. But you know, when people criticize me, here's how I survive it. I don't worry about me. I think maybe inside them something's broken. If somebody hurt you, have you ever thought about maybe they're broken? My wife and I, we have out at our house, we have a 2-seat recliner. It's a love seat. We love it. Now, both sides don't recline off of one lever, just so you know. Hers has got to recline her way. Mine reclines my way. We have dual controls. But it wasn't long ago our love seat broke. Now, we sat in it every day of our life. We sit there, we hold hands, and other things, it's none of your business. Our love seat broke. It would not allow me to comfortably recline anymore. Matter of fact, it was quite uncomfortable the way this thing got whopper-jawed. Now, you know what I did? I looked at that love seat, and I said, I'll get you back. I'll destroy you. Ma, get the gun. I'll hurt you. I said to my love seat, I will make you as uncomfortable as you have made me. Is that what I did? No. I ordered the parts because I wanted to fix what was broken. So we again could be comfortable. And if you want to learn to forgive and to forgive and to forgive, and if you want to last your marriage, if you want to last in the church, if you want to last around the human race, you're going to have to realize that those that would hurt you, it is possibly the result and the fruit of the fact that they might be broken and you're uncomfortable with them because something about them is broken. Could you forgive so you and someone could be comfortable around each other again, or is that out of the question? That's out of the question with you, isn't it? Well, everything in your house that breaks from now on, take a hammer to it. And I'll tell you something, your fridge is not as important as your husband. We'll repair something that breaks down and hurts us, except for humans. Whoever hurt you obviously is broken. Broken things malfunction, don't they? You don't, y'all know something? You don't have to hate that which is broken. You don't have to hate broken things. Don't forget, you're broken too. What right does a broken chair have to criticize or hate or attack another broken chair? Now, we have a living room suit with matching pieces. First time ever. It's one of the results of your kids moving out of your house and leaving you alone. My wife, we the kids all moved out, and we went out and got a couch and a love seat that match. And they don't have them covers on it either. I mean, they match straight out of the factory. Well, when our love seat broke down, did you know the couch didn't attack the love seat? You stupid love seat. Uh-uh. Oh, no. It's not how it's supposed to work. You may be broken in the same area and you don't even know it. Hey, if you won't forgive, you are broken in the area of forgiveness. Hear about the woman that bought a parrot? She bought her a parrot, and that old parrot was as nasty as he could be toward her. Her parrot said, you old hag. She said, don't talk to me like that. I've got a husband. Hey, that parrot said, you're ugly. She said, don't say that. That parrot said to that woman, said, you're stupid. That parrot and that woman said, please don't talk to me that way. The woman one day, after day after day after day of her parrot attacking her verbally, grabbed that parrot and threw it in the freezer. That parrot in her said, you idiot, what are you doing? Let me out of here. And in just a little while, that old parrot got really quiet. About 30 minutes later, she thought, oh no, I killed the parrot. She opened the door, the parrot was standing there just as quiet, saluted her, said, I am sorry. Please forgive me, ma'am, for what I've said against such a darling lady. She said, okay, you're forgiven. Parrot said, ma'am, may I ask one question? She said, yeah. I said, what did that turkey in there do to you? Yeah. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. See, to forgive 70 times 7, we've got to realize what forgiveness really is. To forgive 70 times 7, we've got to realize that God is our example, and you have seen the example. You have seen it in your own life. To forgive 70 times 7, you have to realize that people are broken. And we don't destroy and discard that which is broken. Hey, to forgive 70 times 7, we must be sensitive to the burdens that other people carry. Again, I pull upon life experience. And I say to you that if you want to be a person that forgives and forgives 70 times 7, you'll have to realize that people have burdens, and sometimes the one that hurts you is responding out of hurt. It may not even have to do with you, and it may have to do with you, but have you stopped to think about the burden of the one that's caused your burden? Or is your burden the only one that really matters? Think of the load that they carry. Take your eyes off of your hurt and see if you can find hurt in their life. There are dogs that when they're injured will bite you, but you didn't cause the injury, and they really didn't intend to take it out on you. You just learn. It would seem like if we could analyze that from a dog, that we could do it with human beings. A preacher in a distant state recently criticized me. I didn't let it fester. I immediately realized he was under a lot of pressure. Pastoring is hard. And I found out that his family was going through some very difficult times with their health. You know what I did? I sent flowers to their family and some money to their family and some CDs that I thought would encourage them. I immediately forgave. It wasn't hard for me to do. I understood the pressure he was under, and I thought, rather than me making his situation worse, I will try to make it better. He called me. He said, Brother Owens, I'm sorry. He said, I'd said something. He said, it wasn't right. He said, forgive me. I said, no, you don't understand that. I did that a long time. He said, thank you. Abraham Lincoln said, my heart has no room for the memory of a wrong. My heart has no room for the memory of a wrong. Did you know that it's not Christ-like to be forgiven? Jesus didn't have to be forgiven. It is only Christ-like to forgive. A survey found that men lose their tempers on the average of 6 times a week. Some of you women are saying, well, if I haven't found something that my husband's above average at. 6 times a week, the man loses his temper. On average, a woman would lose hers 3 times a week. The difference is men get mad at circumstances, women get mad at people. You have a flat tire, man kicks a tire. Woman has a flat tire, woman kicks a man. Hey, why don't you stop and think of how much pressure the person that hurt you is under. Stop and pray for their great responsibility and realize that maybe they didn't intentionally hurt you and they broke under pressure. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever broke under pressure? You ever did what you shouldn't have done? Let me ask every parent here. You ever broke under pressure? Behaved in such a way towards your own child that you shouldn't have behaved? But you can't forgive somebody that broke under pressure toward you? Forgive. And 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 forgive. 70 times 7!
Hey, to forgive 70 times 7, you're going to have to forgive the way you would want to be forgiven. Ah, this makes it simple. You've heard the golden rule, haven't you? You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You've heard the golden rule? Why don't you live by it regarding forgiveness? You know that even the cults have their form of the golden rule. You see, the golden rule is very simply something any idiot realizes a part of humanity. Doing unto others as you would have them to do unto you. You don't have to be spiritual to understand it. Those of you that haven't read your Bible one time this week, you can understand this. Those of you that never give like you're supposed to give or pray like you're supposed to pray, you don't have to be a spiritual genius to understand the golden rule. Even the cults have their form of the golden rule. Socrates said, do not do to others what would anger you if done by others to you. Buddhism says, hurt not others in ways you yourself would find hurtful. Hinduism says, do not unto others which would cause pain if done to you. I mean, you're talking about even the wicked of the wicked of the wicked of the wicked have enough good sense to say, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Now let's apply that to this thing called forgiveness. You sit there right now and say, well, I'm glad you're preaching on this, Brother Owens, because my husband needs it. You missed it completely. If you're sitting right now and saying somebody else needs it, the devil's got your brain locked into the wrong channel of the TV, babe. We were zeroing in on you. You just wasted 30 minutes of very articulate preaching. I'm talking to you. Forgive as you would want to be forgiven. Forgive as you would want your child to be forgiven. Forgive as you wanted Jesus to forgive you. Do you want people to hate you and not forgive you? Well, then forgive the way you would want to be forgiven. Do you want people to seek revenge against you and not forgive you? Well, if not, then forgive like you would want to be forgiven. Do you want people to be bitter with you and not forgive you? Well, then if not, forgive like you would want to be forgiven. Do you want people to be unreasonable with you and not forgive you? Then forgive the way you want to be forgiven. Do you want people to avoid you and give you the cold shoulder and not forgive you? Well, if not, then forgive the way you would want to be forgiven. Do you want to reap what you have sown in regard to forgiveness? Do you want to reap what you've sown with this lack of forgiveness with man or this lack of forgiveness with God? If you're bitter with any human being on the face of the earth, it is sin. 70 times 7. Does it mean forgive and 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 forgive? No church stays healthy without forgiveness 70 times 7. 12 times is not enough. 24 times is not enough. 36 times is not enough. 48 times is not enough. 96 times is not enough. 192 times is not enough. Forgive. 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 This truth preserves churches. This truth preserves revivals. This truth preserves your spirit. This truth preserves your attitude.
This truth will preserve your marriage. This truth will preserve your relationship with your children. This truth will preserve one sinner's relationship with another sinner. Two pigs in a hog trough of this world should not be unforgiving toward each other. This truth will preserve your health. There's somebody here right now, you won't forgive another person. Nobody knows it. You say you have, but inside your heart you have not. It's eating at you and eating at you. You become bitter. You become vindictive about it. Somebody here won't forgive another person. You know what? For right now, you feel like that's okay. Well, I'm going to warn you about something. Right now, your marriage is strong and you've got this other person you won't forgive. But your marriage is strong and you're strong with your kids. I'm going to tell you what you're going to find in life. One of these days, you're going to reap what you've sown in regard to forgiveness. And another person that would really like to have a relationship with you, another person that hurt you that would like to get it straight down, you won't let it happen. One of these days, buddy, you're going to be coming to my office. You're going to be saying, she won't come back to me. She won't have anything to do with me. Or he won't come back to me. He won't have anything to do with me. My child won't talk to me. And you may have to trace it back to the preaching sermon where I told you, forgive so you don't reap what you have sown someday. Your unreasonableness is going to come back to you someday. I want to forgive today so that if Mrs. Owens and I ever had a problem in the future, I don't reap what I have sown by not forgiving. Some of you are risking your own children because of the bitterness that you have down inside you, because the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now I'm talking about forgiveness. 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 Hey, let me say this and I'm finished. Are you saved today? You know, I used all these papers earlier, and we were talking about all of your sins that you could list. Once you get that great big old long list done, did you know that if you'll come to Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you of all those sins? You say, I don't know them all. You're right. So you just ask Him to forgive you of your sins. You are a sinner. He can save you and forgive you of all of it. It's what we're sinners. We deserve to die and go to hell. Jesus said, I will go and pay their sin debt for the sin that they committed against me. You have committed sin against a holy God. And you need that God to forgive you. He'll forgive you of your sin. He'll come into your heart. He'll be your Savior. You can go to heaven someday when you die. I'm glad that God does not renege on His forgiveness. If you sin, you go to Him. He'll forgive you of your sin. Some of you, you've experienced the forgiveness of God 70 times 7, haven't you? We don't need to take a course with 15 Bible studies about the subject of forgiveness. Just look at your own life. Let your life be the course. 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till 7 times. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. Marriages don't last. Christians don't last. Relationships don't last unless you get it. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you got to get saved today and get your sin forgiven so you can go to heaven someday when you die. If you're here today and you're a Christian and you have aught in your heart toward anyone, you've got bitterness, you know, we hide it so well. You don't hide it from God, and you can't hide it from the Holy Spirit today. There's some of you, God's got your number right now. I don't know who you are. Your husband doesn't know who it is. Your wife doesn't know who it is. Your kids don't know who it is, but God does, and the Holy Spirit does. You better forgive before you self-destruct. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.